our website, saveus.org, where you can listen to this program any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world. Tell your friends, Romans, and countrymen about it. And again, I want to urge you to become a partner with us. We can't do this and keep doing it unless we receive your gifts of love and faithfulness. And we appreciate how God is working in so many of your minds and hearts to do so. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. If God were real, what might change today, in the next hour in your life?
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Mark Geyer and his son, David Geyer, and we're going to be talking about the tragedy of autism. Now, of course, most Americans, unless you have children who are afflicted, are totally unaware of the catastrophe that has hit the children of this country. One in every six children has either a neurodevelopmental abnormality or a learning disability. One in every nine children has asthma. Between one in every 60 and one in every 90 children is autistic, and their lives are destroyed, and their parents' lives are destroyed. About one in every 460 children has juvenile diabetes. And there is an epidemic of disease among our children, and the question is, why? Well, we know that the government knows, because we have the Simpson-Wood report, the secret report put out by the CDC that no one was ever supposed to see, where CDC officials got together and admitted that there's a relationship between thimerosal and autism, but they do not want the American people to know, and they don't want the American people to know because they feel that the American people wouldn't trust them if they realized, of course, that the vaccines are not safe, and, of course, that they have destroyed the lives of so many children. And the major thrust of the government organizations and the vaccine manufacturers, which play a large part in the financing of the FDA and Sydney, why the vaccine manufacturers make a lot of money from vaccines, and so government is going right along, and they're going to do the expedient thing rather than the just thing, and they're going to conceal the truth from the American people. Well, with that as a background, Dr. Mark Geyer, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, you go right ahead and tell us, of course, you're on the front lines of this battle. How did you get involved?
I was a geneticist. I was trained at Johns Hopkins as a professor, and I was also a worker at NIH, and I've been working on vaccines for many years.
Can you speak just a little louder?
I was an NIH researcher for many years, a professor at Johns Hopkins, and have been a longtime supporter of vaccines. However, I'm interested in making vaccines better. And so right off the top of this, I want to say that I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm just anti-putting mercury, which is a poison, in our children's vaccines. And I actually was asked by the U.S. Congress, the Government Reform Committee, to help them investigate this epidemic. And eventually the U.S. government's Government Reform Committee of the House of Representatives, after a three-and-a-half-year hearing on this issue, issued a report, a congressional report, that said that the United States is suffering from a devastating autism epidemic with a damage estimate of greater than $20 trillion, not billion, trillion dollars, that the epidemic was caused in large part by the mercury in the vaccines, and that the public health attempt to cover it up made them guilty of institutional malfeasance. That's what Congress concluded. The CDC and the FDA just let this roll off their backs, and they just go right on doing this, and more and more children are damaged, and everybody in this country is affected. Whether or not you have a child or you know a child, we as a society are going to be paying this for this for the rest of our lives and for the rest of our children's lives. And we very much, my son and I and others in this movement, want it stopped, and we want it stopped now. And we actually have an interesting announcement to make today.
All right, fine. Well, before we get into that, I just want to comment that Dan Burton, who headed the Congressional Committee, apparently went to the Justice Department and told them that these people from the government, from the government agencies who had lied and not told the truth, should be held responsible, and the Justice Department refused to pick up the information, and the media concealed what they found.
Absolutely.
You go right ahead there, Mark.
We have an interesting day here. Because today is the day that we filed for an injunction. We have a lawsuit in federal court against the FDA. And we're asking the FDA to enforce their own law. And in particular, we're asking them not to give pregnant women thimerosal-containing flu shots. And it turns out that it's already against the law to do so. And the FDA has basically agreed that it's against the law to do so. But they know that it's being done, recommended by the CDC, which is another branch of HHS, and by the American Academy of Pediatrics, and by the American College of OBGYN, and they agree that it's not, they don't recommend it, and they don't believe that it should be done, but they're not going to do anything about it. So today we filed for an injunction. My group is called COMED, and it's COMED, and as well as myself and David and some other members, Dr. King and Reverend Lisa Sykes, have filed for an injunction asking a federal court in Washington, D.C., to order the FDA to follow their own law and tell the others that they cannot recommend these shots for pregnant women. They're planning in September to give swine flu vaccines to pregnant women with mercury.
And even though that it is against the law that they actually have, and so is this a law or is this just a regulation?
Well, the flu shots, if you pick up a package insert, you'll see that they are rated pregnancy class C. In order to help doctors in this country, everything is rated on a pregnancy class because you have to know whether you can give the medicine or the vaccine in to pregnant women. And class C means that the safety has not been determined and it can only be used in an emergency on an individual basis. It is not to be generally recommended. Now, actually, even that it's not true. It's not that it hasn't been tested. It has been studied. The NIH published a study on 52,000 pregnant women, and they showed that the thimerosal containing flu shot increased birth defects. But even if you say it hasn't been studied, you cannot recommend a class C in general. And what the CDC, American Academy of Pediatrics, and the American College of OBGYN are saying is that every pregnant woman who's going to be pregnant during the flu season should have a flu shot. And, you know, the flu season is 5 to 6 months long, and a pregnancy is 9 months long, so every pregnancy is always pregnant at least 1 month with a flu shot. So what they're saying is every pregnant woman should get a flu shot, and that's not in keeping with class C medicines. And FDA agrees that it should be class C. They agree that class C is something that can't be recommended to everybody. They know it's being recommended to everybody, and they just choose not to do anything about it.
Well, why would the OBGYN doctors want to do this when there is the potential for producing birth defects from giving the influenza shot? Does the influenza kill the mother?
Well, I think that American College...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, Dr. Guy was just saying that your group he is affiliated with has filed a suit against the Federal Drug Administration asking them to uphold their law. Their law is basically laid out that there is no justification, there's no scientific evidence, certainly that they would support giving influenza shots to pregnant women. And certainly the flu shot, they've actually done one large studies where they showed that the use of influenza vaccines during pregnancy increased the incidence of birth defects. Did it influence the incidence of autism, do we know?
They don't think so. We think so. But interestingly enough, in this suit, and by the way, it's only thimerosal-containing flu shots that we're asking. They have some thimerosal free, and they have enough to give to pregnant women. They just refuse to do it. The interesting thing about this lawsuit is, and the injunction. An injunction asks the judge to do it right away while we decide it. And what's interesting is that we don't have to prove that autism is caused by thimerosal. Under the law, they have to prove that thimerosal is safe, not just for autism, but birth defects and everything else. And they can't do that, and they admit they can't do it. And so they're violating their own law. Maybe David can comment a little bit further on it.
All right, David. Sydney, is there any way that even if you pass or make the abide by their own law, they won't necessarily do it? They say they'll do it. The judge tells them to do it. How do you make them obey the law? Government officials are above the law, and they're never punished for violating the law. So, I mean, what possibly can you accomplish with a lawsuit?
Well, this kind of lawsuit is unique. Our government, even though sometimes it's not as open as we would like or as honest as we would like, does have the right to petition it. In the case of the FDA, there's a formal petitioning process called an FDA citizens petition. And what that law requires is that you file a petition, which is a legal document with the FDA. The FDA has 180 days to consider it. Once that time has elapsed, the FDA is supposed to give you a response. And at that time, you have a right, if you don't agree with the response, to take them to court. We have been fighting with the FDA through the citizens petition process since August of 2004, almost exactly 5 years to the day of today. And we have, the first time we tried to do this, we filed a petition, they wouldn't respond, we had to take them to court, and through various legal maneuvers, we were forced to delay our action until the beginning of this year when we filed our most recent lawsuit. They tried to kick us out of court on an issue of standing, but so far we've been able to stand in court and not be thrown out, and now we're asking with this injunction the federal court judge who's specifically assigned to look at these cases to issue an order that's basically saying the FDA, you need to cease and assist your use of flu vaccine in this way. So it would be a technical legal order. To disobey it would be FDA and HHS would face sanctions or perhaps even criminal action. So it does have some real teeth.
All right,
fine. This has happened before. In 2003, another group, and I was sort of associated with it, got an order from this court to stop giving anthrax vaccine to U.S. troops in the Gulf War because it had never been approved for use. And they actually issued an injunction and stopped them. And 6 days later, the FDA passed the rule saying that it was approved. And then the judge says, you know, I'm not that stupid. You can't do it in 6 days. Now I'm going to make it a permanent order. And for 3 years, our military couldn't give the anthrax vaccine, which was never approved for use in military. And so there's a precedent, and they were unable to get out of it. The military could not get around it. So we're hoping that the same court will simply do the right thing and at least spare our unborn babies damage.
Well, I'm certainly glad that you brought the suit. I admire you for doing it, and I certainly hope that it will do something to stop this epidemic, this tragic epidemic that is destroying the lives of literally millions of children, and is going to cost society trillions of dollars, estimated to $20 trillion for these little escapades that have made a few billion dollars for the drug companies, assuming that is the reason that they are destroying the lives of the children. Maybe it's just profit that they want. Under any circumstances, of course, you are on the front lines of this battle. And why don't you simply give us the background of the evidence that certainly thimerosal is harmful. After all, the government, Eli Lilly, who developed this, says that thimerosal is perfectly safe. Now, it's too toxic, they admit, to put on the skin as methylate or mercurochrome, but it's perfectly safe to inject into children. They must have studies that show that it's safe, else they couldn't do it. Isn't that right?
That's what our lawsuit says, and the law says you can only do it, you can only use thimerosal as a preservative if you can show that it's safe, David will give you the wording better, but safe at a 10 times the normal dose. So we asked them in the lawsuit, either show us the studies or cease and desist from doing it. And their answer was, we have no studies. We don't know what safe means. We don't know what studies mean. We don't know what sufficiently safe means. And therefore, we're going to do it anyway. And the whole lawsuit, this is not the quick injunction, but the whole lawsuit says, you can't do this. It's not a question of whether it causes harm or not. You have violated the law. You have not done the studies that the law says you have to do. And if you don't do the studies, then you're not allowed to issue and allow the vaccine to go forward. David, you got a comment on it, too?
I think you said it. That was very good.
But is there any way to make this have any real teeth in it? Can you sue the individuals for criminal acts and for the damage that they've done to the children? Because, I mean, they don't mind playing all sorts of games, and they can drag their feet for 10 decades, for 100 years, and tie these things up in court. Unless you go after specific individuals and hold them responsible for what they are doing, is there any way you can bring personal lawsuits for damages against these criminals working for government who have damaged the lives of so many children, and they know how dangerous thimerosal is, and they've done it anyway?
It's very interesting that you bring that up. Under what we're suing for, this issue that the FDA did not follow the law when they approved these vaccines, if the court holds that the law was not followed, it has very specific provisions that talk about criminal actions that may be taken against individuals who did this, as well as monetary fines against companies for taking these actions. So Congress did envision taking action if the FDA engaged in the illegal actions that we're alleging in our lawsuit. Whether somebody like the Department of Justice would actually pursue that, that's another story, but technically under the law, it should result in legal action against individuals.
Well, and of course, when Congressman Dan Burton went to the Justice Department and pointed out that government officials had lied to the committee, had committed professional malfeasance and damaged children, the Justice Department just ignored Congressman Burton's remarks and simply refused to do anything at all to protect the children.
Well, an interesting thing is that although Congress is powerful, Congress does not usually ask that people be arrested. They can, but it's not totally shocking that the Justice Department didn't do it. It would be totally shocking if the federal court in Washington, D.C. ordered it and the Justice Department didn't do it. Then you'd have a major war within our government. The courts are the ones that usually order people arrested or punished or whatever it is they think is appropriate. If they refused to do that, then the federal court system would go after them. And there have been such instances. I mean, the issue of whether you can keep people in Cuba, that's a fight between two parts of our government. But I think the courts would have a much better chance of having something happen than the congressmen. With all due respect to the congressmen, they're mostly pass bills, you know, and decide what money is and what the laws are. They rarely have anybody arrested. So.
Well, I think it's really very interesting that the average person out there in the listening audience has never heard of the congressional committee headed by Dan Burton that did investigate the danger of thimerosal and its relationship to autism, and but totally blacked out by the media. And all of the articles you see in the media are carefully censored so that the public will not get the truth. Oh, they may pretend to show both sides, but they're always slanted in one direction. However, we do have a little book written by Neil Miller that actually takes those congressional hearings, and you can actually get that from Radio Liberty. It's Neil Miller's book on autism, and it's basically a summary of the congressional hearings totally blacked out by the media. Now, it must be very, very, Sydney, a little disheartening for Dr. Mark and David, who are really on the front lines trying to help children, because you get criticized all the time for daring to speak out against the establishment, against the American Association of Pediatrics, American Academy of Pediatrics, and certainly the other agencies that are pushing these childhood vaccines and the mercury, and certainly the influenza vaccine that has a full dose of mercury. And of course, the great lie is they say that taken the mercury out of the childhood vaccines. They've just simply left it in the mercury, in the vaccines given to pregnant women and children. How can they say they've taken the mercury out of childhood vaccines, but not out of the vaccines that are given to pregnant women and children? I mean, it's a distinction without a difference, isn't it?
It's double talk. It's an attempt to fool They went through a whole lot of trying to lie about this stuff, and it is lies. It's not a dispute as to whose science is right, because their own documents, American Academy of Pediatric documents, show that they know that the damage was caused. The CDC and their documents show that the damage was caused. As you know, you have a copy of our book Sacred Spark, where we have the head lawyer for the Government Reform Committee that tells you which crimes they committed. They're just covering it up, and they cover it up, and the way they justify it to themselves is we have to cover this up because otherwise people won't take the vaccines, everybody will get sick and die. We don't want anybody to get sick and die, but we want the truth, and we don't want people to get sick with chronic disease either. There is more to the disease than just infectious disease. They've gotten rid of most of infectious disease, but they don't seem to think that chronic disease is a disease at all. And our society now suffers from chronic disease, not infectious disease.
And our people are getting sicker and sicker, ladies and gentlemen. All sorts of degenerative diseases in the elderly and of these degenerative diseases in the young. Many of them attributed to the mercury in the vaccines.
Absolutely.
You go right ahead there. Well, basically, of course, Sydney, what do you think about, have you given any thought to this H1N1 influenza vaccine that they...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Kids to call it the swine flu because the pig or hog farmers don't like that. So they have this kit on the name H1N1 type A influenza. And, of course, this is an untried, untested experimental vaccine. And, of course, they're not only going to have mercury and most of it, they're going to have other things like squalene. And if you don't know it's safe, why would you want to give it to literally everyone in the world? Or certainly everyone in this country and in Europe, and they're gearing up to give it all throughout the world, when suddenly this is not a major problem. It really doesn't make any logical sense. I'm sure you've discussed the fact that for a non-existent epidemic or an epidemic of very, very mild results, certainly very, very mild medical results, why would they want to force people to take this vaccine?
Well, it's a great way of making money. They already got something like $7 or $8 billion, but then a couple of years ago they got $7 or $8 billion for the bird flu. Did you see any bird flu, by the way?
Well, yes, actually, Baxter just accidentally put the live avian virus, avian influenza virus, the lethal avian influenza virus, they just accidentally put it into millions of doses of influenza vaccine they were going to give in Europe. Fortunately, the Czechoslovakian checked it, and they found out it killed all the ferrets that were injected with it, and they pulled it before it killed millions of Americans. But this was a deadly vaccine that they were going to give. Fortunately, they didn't give it.
We have another problem, which is not all flu vaccines is killed flu vaccines. We have a live intranasal vaccine given every year, actually made in Maryland. And the problem, and it's a modified vaccine that's not supposed to grow very well at body temperature, but it's supposed to grow in your nose where it's a little cooler. And it's well known, and it's in their package insert, that a certain percentage of people who are exposed to this, that other people have taken the vaccine, you can catch the flu from them. Well, that's bad enough, but how would you like it to be the swine flu that you can catch from them? Well, that's what they're growing. They're growing right here in Maryland. We are now growing 25 million doses of live swine flu with the package insert saying that if you take this in your nose, you should not come in contact with anybody for 3 weeks that's susceptible. And susceptible people are anybody over the age of 60, anybody with asthma, anybody with a chronic illness. And they're going to give it to kids, and they're going to run around, you know, not intentionally, but they're going to risk all of our lives. How dare they do that? I mean, this is crazy.
Well, I think sometimes we live in a world gone mad. There's only a few of us who are sane, and everybody else thinks we're crazy, because I share your concern about the actual shedding of this virus from the nasal pharynx of the people who are given the live vaccine, the live virus there, and they can spread this all over the country. In fact, I was reading, they're actually talking about making up to 150 million doses of this vaccine. The government's already agreed to buy large amounts of this vaccine, can be used all over the country. What a wonderful way to spread an epidemic. Why would you do something like that?
And also, you know, we're growing this enormous amount of potentially deadly flu. They don't have a level 4 facility in Gaithersburg, Maryland, as far as I know. So I think that it's a local problem, too. I think it could leak out. I mean, when you're going to have really dangerous things, you need what's called a level 4 containment facility, and you need to get permission from the local community and, you know, do all the safety studies. They don't have it.
Well, maybe they don't think it's that deadly a virus, then.
Yeah, that's what they think. But then they're telling us that swine flu is deadly. So it's really scary what's happening in this thing. And the good news is, for a long time, for a number of weeks now, I thought they actually were going to force people to take the vaccine. And I think they wanted to. But what happened is, what they wanted to do was give everybody 2 doses of swine flu vaccine. So they needed 600 million doses, because there's 300 million Americans. So far, it looks like they're not even going to have 150 million. So they don't have enough doses to do it, so they decided, I guess, they're going to make it optional. They're just going to make sure they give it to all the pregnant women and all the children. Then the rest of us can be optional. it's unbelievable. At least they're not going to. I thought for a while they might actually come and give it. They still may give it in school without informed consent, which incidentally is a felony. But they don't think it's a felony. They think they can give it to your kid without your permission.
Well, we have a number of people who really are sort of above the law. They're public health officers. The public health officer is the most powerful individual in any community because they, in the name of protecting the public health, can do whatever they want to, and there are no repercussions. Now, I think that it would be a time, if you had a deadly epidemic, a pneumonic plague or something, where public health officials should be able to move and move very quickly and can't wait for all the niceties. But we're talking about a non-existent problem. Very, very few people have died from this disease throughout the world. And it's a very mild flu, and most of the people who've died have had other problems. So what's the real agenda? Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest this evening, Dr. Mark Geyer, his son David, and why don't we just sort of get back to what we really intended to talk to about this evening, although I think this what you've been talking about has been so vitally important, but I wanted to cover a little bit about the treatment that you have come up with that is really helping many of these children with autism. Now, I know that you don't claim to be able to cure this disease, but if you can help these children so they can function in society, so they can stay in their homes, so they can stop destroying the household, attacking their parents, and suddenly as these boys get older, they get stronger, and they can create tremendous damage. And, of course, we have so many autistic children all across America today. I'm sure almost every family listening to this program knows somebody who is autistic or has a child who is autistic. So, well, let's talk a little bit about the treatment protocol that you have developed for treating children with autism.
You want to try, Dave?
Yeah. What we've observed, autism is a very interesting disorder in that it involves a whole series of deficits in these children. Most of these children that we treat and see with autism have problems with social problems. They're socially withdrawn. They have a lot of behavioral problems that accompany the disorder. These are things like potentially having meltdowns and aggressive behaviors as far as biting or pinching or kicking others, that kind of thing. They also have very significant cognitive and speech and language problems to go with that. And what we've observed is that a lot of autistics occur in males versus females. 5-1, in some cases even 10-1. And we've found out that the male hormones, testosterone in particular, plays a very important role in these clinical symptoms in autistic children. And so we've begun to use therapies that are designed to try to treat high levels of testosterone in autistic children. And there are a number of different drugs that are relatively safe and that have been given for many years.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Dr. Mark and David Geyer, and David was simply telling us about what you see in autism. You see children who have behavioral problems, and many times they're violent. These children have speech problems. These children have difficulty communicating their ideas and thoughts. And they found, of course, that this disease is much, much more common in boys than girls, probably between 5 and 10 times as more common in boys than in girls. And so is there a relationship to the testosterone in the boys? Well, they found, of course, that these boys actually have much higher levels of testosterone than they should have. going right along, of course, with their aberrant behavior and aberrant responses, and that if they can actually lower the testosterone level, that this seems to have an effect on the child's retention of mercury. So you pick up the story there and explain the relationship between mercury and testosterone, testosterone and behavior, and then what happens when you can lower the testosterone as far as behavior, as far as mercury, and then as far as the damage to the brain.
As I was saying, that testosterone plays such an important role in autism. Our research and the research of others indicates that testosterone in its highest levels really can directly account for a lot of the actual symptoms of autism. And we found that mercury interacting with testosterone makes the mercury much more poisonous. If you take something like human neurons and you throw mercury on them, you can kill and damage them. But if you add mercury and testosterone together, testosterone makes mercury much more poisonous. Whereas the female hormones, the estrogens, protect against mercury poisoning. This is a big reason why we believe so many more males than females are affected with autism, is the fact that males are much more susceptible to being poisoned by mercury. And as far as treatment, as I was saying, that the testosterone is so important for the clinical symptoms of autism that we've designed and worked on therapies that help treat the hormonal component of what's going on. And what we found is that as you lower the levels of testosterone, the male hormones, many of these children seem to have less and less autistic-like features with that kind of therapy. And the drugs that we're using have been around for many, many years, and many of them have been given for significant lengths of time and have observed to have very few side effects. So very exciting help for these children.
And so what happens then when you lower the testosterone in the children? What happens as far as the mercury is concerned and the mercury levels?
Let me see if I can explain to you the interaction, because we didn't just make the observation that they're boys and they have testosterone. We actually figured out biochemically how the two interact. And the way they interact is that when you make testosterone, you start with cholesterol and you go through a series of steps. And the first time that you make it into an androgen, that is a testosterone-like molecule, is a molecule called DHEA. DHEA is a branch point. And normal male, even who's maximally making testosterone, is supposed to make most of his DHEA into DHEAS. In fact, it's 99.99% of the DHEAS. The enzyme that makes DHEA into DHEAS is exquisitely inhibited by mercury, and it requires glutathione and sulfation to do this. And the kids with autism have very poor sulfation. Everybody who looks at this sees that. They have very low glutathione, and we think they have mercury, and we've proven it in multiple studies. So we said if you have mercury on board, you're not going to be able to make your DHEA into DHEAS very well, and so your DHEAS will be low, your DHEA will be high, and DHEA doesn't like to stay DHEA, so if it can't become DHEAS, it becomes androstenedione and then testosterone. And testosterone blocks the glutathione pathway at a particular spot, and so as the testosterone goes up, the glutathione goes down. As the glutathione goes down, you get worse and worse at being able to make DHEA into DHEAS, and around you go. And so once you start it and you get it going to where you have high testosterone and low glutathione, you start it with the mercury, you don't need the mercury anymore. It still goes because the high testosterone keeps the glutathione low. And so what we said is that if we lower the testosterone, then you'll be able to make more glutathione, and the glutathione will then make more DHEA into DHEAS, and glutathione, in any medical textbook, is how you get rid of mercury. So the whole thing makes total sense now, and it's the children who are most susceptible. All of our children got the vaccine with mercury, the ones who had low glutathione are the ones that are susceptible, they're the ones that develop the autism, and if you can lower the testosterone, and by the way, we even see it in girls. There are fewer girls, but the few girls there are, they have very high testosterone. And the whole thing goes around with them as well. So we think we have a central defect in autism, and we don't just think so. I mean, we've done multiple studies. Anybody who wants to can confirm this by simply going to LabCorp. Every doctor in this country has a LabCorp box. I don't own stock in LabCorp, but LabCorp happens to have age-specific testosterone cutoffs, so they can tell you what it should be at age 3. It doesn't do any good if you run testosterone get a level and they say that's normal for an adult male and you got a three-year-old. LabCorp has those cutoffs, and anybody who runs those tests, the simple blood tests that any doctor can run, will find, like we do, that 80 to 85% of our autistic kids are out of the reference range in at least one and usually more of the androgen. And this is not our opinion. This is a lab test, and they'll find they have high DHEA and low DHAS and high androstenedione and high testosterone, low glutathione, and we've worked out the whole pathway. And not only that, you'll also find they have high mercury. There's a standard, well-accepted test for mercury called porphyrin. And all you need is a sample of urine, and it tells you how much mercury you have in your body. And we didn't work out this test. It's been worked out for 30 years. NIH has published it. Everywhere there's a spill, they found it. And we studied the autistics, and we found the higher the porphyrin, the mercury-specific porphyrin, the more likely you are to have autism, and the more likely it is to be severe. And we've published three papers on that. There's a group in France now, Philippe Auguste, that has published several papers, and they find the same thing. The higher the body burden of mercury, the more autism. And now there's a group, David Austin, a university professor in Australia, and they find the exact same thing. And now there's coming out a group in South Korea. All four groups on four separate continents find the same thing. Any doctor who wants to can order that urine test in their LabCorp box. It's very inexpensive. And they will come back, and I've had a number of doctors who said, I didn't believe that story, but I ordered it, and guess what it came back? It's mercury toxic. They're lying to you, and any doctor who wants to can confirm it. So we know that the entire biochemistry that we said is the way we said it is. And interestingly enough, you notice I didn't say we chelated out the mercury. There's a process to remove mercury. You usually don't have to remove the mercury. All you have to do is lower the testosterone. The kids get much better, and then usually the mercury goes away by itself. And so that's our therapy, and it helps. It doesn't cure autism. Some of these kids have permanent brain damage. If you get enough mercury, you're permanently damaged. You can't fix that. But it makes them, most of the kids, respond rather quickly, meaning within a couple weeks, they're much better. And again, everybody who has any common sense sees that this is true, at least as far as aggression, because what do you think would happen? If you're not a doctor, but you have I tell you, you have a kid who's very aggressive and he has high testosterone, what do you think is going to happen if you lower the testosterone? Going to become less aggressive. And then he's not going to hit people. And then he's going to pay better attention. Then he's going to learn more. This is common sense. Everybody sees that. And we give talks all over the world. And, you know, we give it to thousands of people. And all of them go, that's my son. Usually son, but sometimes daughter. That's my son. Of course it is. Take a look. They masturbate at age 4. They have hair. They have they have pimples. They have the symptoms of early onset puberty. And if you measure their labs, they have high androgens. And if you'll just treat the onset of the puberty, you'll make the autism better. And the official line on autism is, it's an unknowable genetic disorder. They don't know what causes it, but it must be genetic. And it's untreatable. And it's not unknowable. It is somewhat genetic. That is, there's a genetic component. The component is that those people who tend to have high testosterone to begin with and tend to have low glutathione, and by the way, we've done genetic testing on that. We and others have proven that. Those are the ones that tend to be affected, but they don't have any problem until you give them the mercury. So not only are they telling us a lie about what caused this, but because of that, they're preventing people from getting treatment. And the treatment works rather, not on everybody, but rather on most people, rather quickly. And when we do our therapy with Lupron, we only do a 2-month trial. If your child isn't much better after 2 months, we try something else. We're not going to do Lupron. And most people, you see it right away. If it's testosterone and you lower it usually within days, but certainly within weeks, you see, it's the kid isn't normal, but boy, the kid is much, much better. Aggression, those who haven't seen an autistic child, and you think of the Rain Man, you know, the movie, a guy sits in the corner, doesn't talk much, that's not what most of these kids look like. These kids are dangerously aggressive. Two of them in the last couple months have killed their mothers, they were in the newspaper. Many of them put their mothers in hospitals. They bang their heads. They bite their hands to the point where the bones stick out. They break holes in walls. They break every pane of glass in the house. They pull the sinks out of the walls. They punch the principals. They threaten to rape the girls. They masturbate in public. And that's what we're talking about. And if you lower their testosterone, they do a heck of a lot better. And it's easy and safe to do.
Now, how long have you been doing it?
About five, what do you think, Dave? 5 years, 5.5 years?
Yeah.
And, of course, now, of course, you have a series of clinics all across the country, don't you?
Yeah, we have clinics all around the United States. We're opening more. And also, we are people that believe that you don't just do a therapy, you do studies and you publish. And we publish in peer-reviewed literature all over the place in all kinds of journals, hormone research and endocrine journals, and all the stuff that we do is published, and there are now many other people that are doing it as well, and we have assembled quite a good team that helps us do this. And, you know, anybody that has an autistic child, and if they go to the pediatrician says, sorry, first they deny it, but then finally they say, okay, you got autism, take the kid home, you're going to put him in an institution. They don't even try to treat them. Or they give you psych meds. If the kid gets to be, quite frankly, in our society, one thing we don't tolerate is aggression. You go to school, you don't learn, you can go to school. You go to school and you break the principal's arm, you don't go to school. So what they do is they start treating these kids the only other way they know how to treat, which is with psych meds. And they start giving them Abilify, Paxil, Seroquel, Depakote, you name it. They don't know which one. And it may help a little bit on the aggression, but it makes them really dopey. And they keep taking more and more and more, and pretty soon they have to be in an institution. And they can't think at all because those drugs dim your mentation, and you get permanently hooked on them. And so the two choices, really, if you have an aggressive child, first of all, they usually get to be much more aggressive when they get to be a teenager because then their testosterone really goes high. And your choices are either you do something about the testosterone or you give them psych meds and you find a bed for them in an institution. That's what happens to at least the severe ones. And there are a lot of severe ones. Over 50% of the autistics in the country now have few or no words. That's my idea of severe. If they have no words or they have one word, we're talking about a major problem, and they're going to become aggressive, a lot of them, and they're going to hurt people, and we're going to have to do something. And your choices are psych meds, which are, you know, have black box warnings and no future at all. I mean, nobody lives on psych meds, multiple psych meds for very long. Or you can try to do something about the root problem and use a much safer method, and that's what we try to do. And we've had quite a bit of success, and I think parents shouldn't give up on their kids and just, you know, give them psych meds and throw them in an institution. But I think that will happen to a lot of the kids.
Well, now, do we have any idea how many children we actually have in America today who are autistic?
What do you think, Dave?
The best estimates probably are between 500,000 to 2 million, but those are perhaps considerable underestimates because of various labels that are used for these children. There's not absolute agreement as to what is a child with autism versus a child with opposition defiance disorder versus mood disorder, perhaps even on to things like bipolar or even schizophrenia. But is a very conservative estimate, certainly 1 million is probably in the ballpark. And of the 1 million people that we're talking about, almost all of them are under the age of 18 or 21. And starting around 1990, within a year or two of that, there was a tremendous increase in the amount of autism in this country. Historically, autism was a very rare disorder. It was 1 or 2 per 10,000. And today it's a condition that's present in at least 1 in 150. That's according to the CDC numbers. And our belief, just as people out in the field seeing hundreds and hundreds of kids, is that it may be as high as 1 in 20 or 1 in 30 kids. This is something that's obviously a lifelong disability, and it's going to cost our country billions of dollars, and that doesn't even account the fact of lost economic capacity from these children not working and the multitude of people that will be necessary to be involved in the care of these children. I can't emphasize enough that many of these children require 24-hour day care. And this even applies to high-functioning kids with autism, meaning ones who have some ability to speak, some ability to interact. They, as a group, tend to have problems with many of the basic things that we do in life, meaning that many of them won't eat unless you sort of remind them or directly feed them. Most of them have virtually no concept of things like money. There tend to be, you know, if you go up to them and say, give me $20, they'll hand you $20 if they understand that. They have no ability to really comprehend abstract thought. They tend to be very literal people who have a lot of trouble socializing and behaving in normal human social society.
Well, we're drawing close to the end of this hour. I'd like you to go ahead and get your web page out there, and if you have a telephone number where people could get in touch with you, your clinics across America, let's get the information out here.
Our website is www.asdcenters.com. www.asdcenters.com.
AFD centers, yes. like Adam Fox Dog Centers?
No. AS, like in Sam.
AS?
Yes. It stands for Autism Spectrum Disorder. AS.
Okay, fine. AS, okay, fine. ASD.com, okay?
ASDcenters.com.
All right.
And our telephone number is 301-989-0548. 301-989-0548. And we can pretty much handle anybody anywhere in the country. If we don't have a center, we can get one fairly near them, and we can arrange to have them seen. We pretty much cover the United States now.
And I think what's so interesting is, of course, this is all done electronically. They actually have a number of doctors in various communities and various specialties. And, of course, when they do the evaluation, do you actually have video hookups so that you could actually talk back and forth and see the child?
Yeah, we do that. And then, of course, we always see them in person as well at one of our clinics some of the time. But some of the time we can see them on electronic. And, of course, the labs that we draw are LabCorp, and they're in every state in the country virtually. And we also can, have the medicines delivered to any state in the country. So we're pretty able to treat almost anybody, almost anywhere in the country. They may have to come, a few states over to be seen some of the time, but I think we can really help a lot of people.
Well, this, of course, is one of the most exciting things that's come along in some time. We've been talking to Mark and David for some years. Now they've developed a series of clinics all across the country where there is treatment available, hope for these children who otherwise would lead a hopeless life. Our telephone number, once again, we'll get the numbers out a little later. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this hour of Radio Liberty. Well, what sort of results are you getting?
Pretty impressive. Some of the kids are, so improved that we call it a wow. They're so improved that they're seen by the...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
Autistic child, of course, there's a great deal in there about the science. Dr. Geyer, Mark Geyer, had written that. David, of course, had helped with the writing of the book. It's called The Sacred Spark. It's the story of an autistic child and the story, really, of autism, about the science and what is known about, of course, the suppression of efforts to do the studies. Certainly, there have been efforts to do extensive studies on this, and they've been very effectively blocked by government committees, almost as if they don't want to get to the truth. We have a very good four-tape set on autism, interviews with families that have had this terrible, terrible problem. We have a great DVD with Dr. David Ayoub. It's a talk he gave at our conference. It's called Mercury, Autism, and the Global Population Agenda. Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. And of course, Dr. Ayoub has given us a CD-ROM. You get that when you get the DVD. And it really contains at least 1,000, maybe several thousand pages of scientific studies going to the fact that it's well known that thimerosal is neurotoxic. And of course, it goes into the background of the justification for using it, the fact that there's one study that Eli Lilly loves to quote, where they gave it to a number of people and none of them died the thimerosal that was injected in them. Of course, they all died. They died because they had meningococcal meningitis, but they didn't die of the thimerosal. Therefore, the drug is safe. Now, if that sounds crazy to you, we live in a world gone mad, and unfortunately, there are only a few of us who are really sane, and everybody thinks we're crazy. You must understand that this is not imaginary. One of the greatest human tragedies of all time. The very people that are pushing population control and say we've got to get rid of the majority of the world's population are also encouraging the vaccine programs in Africa, specifically people like Bill Gates, all covered very well in this excellent talk, which is, of course, Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. So let me suggest that you get the book, The Sacred Spark. It's an excellent book on autism. We have the four-tape set on autism. We have Dr. Ayoub's excellent DVD and, of course, the CD-ROM that comes with that. The information is there. You need to learn about it. And you need to, of course, we have four tape sets on autism. We actually have a couple of four tape sets on mercury. We actually have a couple of DVDs that David and Mark Geyer had done. I think we have two of them, which we make available to our listeners. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Do not wait, you know, until this strikes someone in your family, someone close to you. This is a preventable disease, and of course, they should not be giving the number of vaccines they're giving. They should not be giving the number of vaccines close together, and they certainly should not be giving the vaccines that contain thimerosal. And of course, everything suggests that this new emergency vaccine they're going to give to everybody for a non-existent threat. And I'm talking about the H1N1 threat, type A influenza virus, that they say is going to strike us later this year, and it might mutate, and it might kill 300,000 or 400,000 Americans. And how could you justify doing nothing when this disease might mutate and it might kill 300,000 or 400,000 people? But you don't notice that they don't say it is going to mutate. They don't say it is going to kill 300,000 or 400,000 people. There is a wonderful DVD, and I want you to watch it. If you care about this country, you want to get this. It's the at the national cancer national vaccine information center. That's the National Vaccine Information Center. www.nvic.org. nvic.org, or simply Google in Barbara Lowe Fisher, go to her website, scroll down the page to the 1976 flu, there's a DVD, watch that, and you'll understand, of course, what happened and how they killed hundreds of people for a non-existent influenza. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, once again, they're going to be the views of Dr. Mark Geyer and David Geyer. And we're talking about autism, this terrible tragedy that, of course, is afflicting so many children across America. If you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, of course, they have treated large numbers. How many children do you think you've treated altogether, Mark?
We have about 1,000 children, I think, now in our system, and rapidly growing.
All right, fine. And then, of course, you have local doctors in these clinics all across the country?
Yes.
All right, fine. Now, how long do the children have to stay on the Lupron? In other words, can they ever get off of the testosterone-lowering medication?
Well, we take this piece by piece. We start off and we do a complete history, a genetic testing, and if they fit, first of all, we have to see if they fit for the protocol, because if they don't have the markers that we want, we don't do the therapy at all. If they fit and the parents want to, we make an agreement to do it for 2 months. If at the end of the 2 months we don't see a major improvement, we do something else, because Lupron is a big therapy, and we really want to see a major improvement. If we see a major improvement, we do it for a year. Beyond that, we found that as the kids get toward teenage years, we try to switch them from the shots to a pill type of treatment, which we call Andrecure. And that allows them, if they're doing well, they can go on camping trips. They don't have to take the shot with them. And most of the time, we're able to switch them to pills. And there are some that we can actually completely take off all medications, and they seem to be okay. And then there may be some that may need to take Lupron or some form of medication, I don't know about forever, because we haven't done it forever, but for a long time. And I used to be somewhat upset about that, but then I realized that the alternative is they take psych meds. And if they take psych meds, that's certainly forever, because you can't even get off of them. And forever is not going to be very long, because those things are really, really toxic. So it may be that some of these kids are so damaged they need to be on anti-testosterone for a very long time.
All right, fine. Now, of course, how often, when they have the shots, how often do they have to take them?
The initial Lupron therapy, we give an IM shot every 14 days, and the parents give a sub-Q, a little teeny shot that's almost like an insulin shot, each morning.
All right, fine. And then this seems to hold them and lower the testosterone. Now, do they really begin to excrete the mercury once you get the testosterone level down?
Yeah, what we do is we don't do any chelation. We don't do anything about the mercury. What we do is we measure it, and we follow them with labs as we treat them. We follow the testosterone. Once a month, they have a lab test. And during those lab tests, we follow not only the testosterone so we can adjust our treatment, but we follow the glutathione and we follow the mercury. And usually what happens is as the testosterone goes down, which it does because of our medicine, the glutathione goes up, and the mercury, which we've been following, usually goes down, and we just watch. And as long as it goes down to the normal level, we do nothing. Once in a while, we get somebody that has so much mercury that they need a little help, and then we give them a little bit of a chelator, which is a medicine that makes the mercury go away. But usually we're not, even though we are people that attack the mercury, we don't attack the mercury primarily on the therapy. It turns out that the thing you need to do to fix, to make the kid better, is to make the testosterone better.
All right, well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Mark or David Geyer, this is certainly a really exciting treatment. Here's something that can be done for these children who heretofore really, of course, the parents who go from doctor to doctor looking for a magic pill, and there hasn't been any. Well, this seems to be pretty well qualifying for something truly miraculous, and a lot of these children are getting better. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, what about the American Academy of Pediatrics? Are they listening to you? Will they publish your papers? Are any of the pediatricians beginning to get involved in this type of treatment?
There certainly are pediatricians on our side of this issue. They're within their organization, and even, for example, California, the California division of their pediatric division asked them to ban thimerosal, which they didn't do. So they have internal problems, and they're also, of course, some pediatricians that are now helping us and are aware of this. The American Academy, and we've become big enough that we've actually drawn a response on our therapy. They actually have published an answer, and their answer basically is Lupron therapy is safe, but they don't know that it's been proven enough to be used clinically. And, you know, there's some sense to that. That is, we've done it, and, you know, there are some other doctors that have done it, and we feel that responsibility, which is why we publish almost constantly what we're doing so that others can share. And other people are doing it, and they're publishing as well. So I think that they're not happy with us, but it's not mostly about the therapy. They're mostly unhappy with us because we do things like we did today, which is we go to court and try to stop the mercury in the vaccine. I think if we didn't do that, if we weren't unpopular for that, they wouldn't be upset particularly about the therapy. They don't really know what the therapy should be. They don't really want to treat these patients. They don't know what to do with them. Many of the pediatricians throw them out of the office because, first, you don't get paid for autism, usually, if you build the insurance company. And secondly, they're disruptive. They go in and they break up all the toys and they hit the other kids, and the pediatricians really don't know what to do with them. They've been told that they're genetic, and, you know, they continually spend more and more money looking for the genetics. And the genetics that they're looking for is not there. They're not going to find it. We also look in all these kids. We do a complete workup. We don't just assume it's testosterone. We do tests for chromosomes, for Fragile X, for we do a microarray to look through the genetics. We do hormones. We do we look at thyroid. We do a complete workup. And quite frankly, we occasionally find some genetic problem, but it's relatively rare. And that's what they find too, by the way. If the genetics, the pure genetic cause exists, it's for a few percent. It's not the main cause. And you know they put out all kinds of disinformation, like, well, a lot of these kids have Fragile X. For example, that's a main genetic problem. I've been taking care of, or, you know, looking for Fragile X for 30 years in my practice. We haven't got, out of 1,000 kids, we don't have one Fragile X that has autism. They say that a lot of them have Down syndrome. Down syndrome is not what is causing autism. Those are really rare. Occasionally we find a girl with Rett that sort of looks autistic, maybe 2 or 3 out of 1,000. They're pushing at straws. What we do find is most of them have high androgens. Most of them have high mercury in their urinary porphyrin test. Most of them have a little autoimmunity, but not very much. And they have the genetics that makes their glutathione low and that makes them susceptible to mercury.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Dr. Mark and David Geyer. We're talking about autism. Now, some people say that autism rate really hasn't increased. It's just better reporting. How would you respond to that?
I found that amazing when they first said it, that it's not an epidemic, there's just a lot more cases. And, you know, they try to say, well, it's a better diagnosis, which is more than insulting for an old doctor like me. They're saying that in the 1980s we missed it. We missed it? Over half these kids don't talk. How do you think we missed it? We're not talking about a doubling. We're talking about the rate going up 15-fold. So maybe we missed a few. We didn't miss it. That is not what's happening. So now they have another thing. They used to say, well, if it's maybe it's an epidemic, and I pointed out, and every geneticist in the world will tell you, you can't have a genetic epidemic, because an epidemic is a rapid rise in human disease, and genetics doesn't change maybe 1% 100 years. So the most recent, I've just read a new article by them. What they're going to do is change the definition of the word epidemic from the definition I just said, which is a rapid rise in human disease, to the following definition. A rapid rise in human disease caught from one person to another. Well, if that's the definition, then I guess we don't have an epidemic, we just have a lot more cases. Isn't that cute? That's what they spend their time and money on, to change the definition so it's not an epidemic. Well, let me tell you what I think of this non-epidemic. Boy, that's some epidemic, you know? I mean, you can hardly go to the store now or to McDonald's or anywhere without seeing a child on the spectrum. That is some epidemic. Anybody who thinks there's not an epidemic, I did a piece for Nightline. They said, what do you want to do? And I said, let's go visit, since there's no epidemic, you know, there should be the same number of autistics at every age. Let's go to the institutions and visit the 70-year-old autistics, and the 60-year-old autistics, and the 50-year-old autistics. Only trouble is we couldn't do it, because we couldn't find them, because they weren't there. Because it's an epidemic, because most of the people with autism are under the age of 20, and that's the time when we change the vaccine schedule and we increase the amount of mercury. And they can try to fool you all you want. The bottom line is there's a heck of an epidemic, and it was caused by the chimerism.
Well, basically, you said that the incidence began to increase. Was it in 1990 or 1980? Certainly, they started the MMWR, I believe, about 1980. Was it 1980 or 1990? If it was 1990, what was it that precipitated the problem in 1990?
There was a slight rise in the 80s. We studied this extensively and published on it. There was a slight rise in the 80s, and it may have been due to some people being affected by the MMR vaccine, these are live viruses. But the main increase began around 1990. And what happened in 1990 is the standard vaccine schedule, which had been DTP, diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, and polio, which incidentally polio doesn't have thimerosal, but DPT does, was increased to include hepatitis B and HIV, two more thimerosal-containing vaccines. Additionally, women that were Rh negative began to be given Rogam shots, which is a shot to prevent you from becoming immune to the baby, and they had mercury. And so what they did is they virtually tripled the amount of mercury immediately, and that's what when the autism epidemic took off like crazy. And it's enormous. It's not 10% increase. It's got to be 15-fold. We're talking about from, say, 1 in, at most, 2,500 in the 80s, at most, to, you know, 1 in 30, 1 in 20. All right, make it 1 in 100. From 1 in 2,500 to 1 in 100, which is very conservative, that's a 25-fold increase, folks. That's not a slight increase. That's so large that it's not better diagnosis. And, by the way, the diagnostic criteria actually became softer. I don't think there's more better diagnosis. And we've done numerous studies, and numerous other people have, too. The California Department of Health has published this, and it's not better diagnosis. They've done studies. There's a major, major epidemic. If we can't even see the major epidemic, let alone figure out what caused it or treat it, we're really in big trouble. And what we need to do is have people recognize it. And we need to have your listeners aid us, and there are all kinds of ways in which they can aid us. And Sacred Spark is a very interesting book because it's not just about the first treatment of the first trial, which is interesting, but it's also about Reverend Lisa Sykes and how she began to organize a grassroots movement to stop this. And what she eventually did is, first she got the Virginia Conference of the United Methodists to declare that their number one priority was to get rid of mercury and vaccines. Then she got the Worldwide Women's United Methodists to declare it. That's about 1 million people. And now she's got the Worldwide Methodists, which is like 11.5 million people. We all need to get together. And we need to not... We do the science and we do the doctrine, but there needs to be an organization to stop this from happening. Incidentally, I think your listeners would really find it fascinating if you had Lisa Sykes come on. She's a wonderful speaker. She could tell you her adventures on how she did this. But she has made a major, major difference and brought tremendous pressure against the CDC and American Academy of Pediatrics. And she's not a way-out, you know, wacko anti-vaccine person. She's a mainline reverend. Her husband is a dean. She believes in every doctor, and she went to all the meetings and all the conferences, and she's seen the documents, and the story that she tells is very compelling about the lies that they tell. By the way, Sacred Spark has all kinds of documents that were never published before from the government, because what's really remarkable about this whole issue is the other side says there's no issue. They pretend there's no science on our side. There are only thousands of articles. And in reality, there is no issue. There's no dispute here because they agree with us. And the reason I know that is I have their transcripts and their documents. And no one disputes the documents, and some new ones are in the Sacred Spark. If you read the documents, they know it, and they said they were going to keep it secret. One of my favorite quotes from the secret meeting at Simpsonwood. And by the way, Simpsonwood is a United Methodist retreat in the Georgia woods. The United Methodists gave them a beautiful place to meet, thinking they were helping children. And they perpetuated great evil at this place. But my favorite quote, one of my favorite quotes, is from one of the scientists there, or doctors there, who said, "Excuse me, I'm going to call my grandson, make sure he doesn't get any thimerosals containing shots, because he's the first male of the next generation, and we're not going to damage him. But we can't tell anybody else about this." And they actually were so stupid, they kept an official transcript, and they wrote down what he said. That's the only child that was saved at that meeting. The rest of the meeting had nothing to do with children. It had to do with whose career was going to be hurt, and how many people were going to get sued. And nobody cared about the kids. But at least we did save one kid. We saved the grandson of one of the doctors there who called and made sure his kid didn't get the thimerosal-containing shot. But the rest of our kids, we're going to get it, and we're going to be lied to. It makes a person get really upset. I don't have an autistic kid, but I love this country, and anybody who has an autistic kid or knows one should be very upset. But even if you don't know one, your whole future has been changed. We are a loving country. We will take care of these children. We will never be the country we should have been had this not happened. We will die, and we'll be paying for this, and our children will be dying, and they will be paying for it. And this is we've lost part of the future of America. Those are dollars, trillions of dollars, that should have been spent on health care, on improvement of the environment, on improving our lives, on space flight, whatever you think is important. Now we're going to have to take care of these kids, and we will because we love the kids. But something has happened to our society, and it's basically irreversible. The best we can do is let's not do it anymore and let's help the kids. But the damage is, when we say $20 trillion, you need to point out it's more damage than World War I and World War II combined. It's the greatest catastrophe that has ever happened, because we're talking about not only the 1 in 20, 30, whatever we said. We're also talking about ADD-ADHD, which is a milder form of autism, and which, incidentally, their documents show and our studies show, was caused by the same thing. I live in Montgomery County, Maryland, one of the nicest counties in the country, one of the richest counties, one of the best school systems. I saw the other day an article. Approximately 50% of the children in Montgomery County in normal schools at lunchtime take Ritalin or Strattera, meaning they have ADD-ADHD. How are we going to stay the leading country in the world if half of our kids have to take medicine so they can even read?
Well, I think one only has to watch, of course, Jay Leno and his interviews as he goes jaywalking, and the response of these young people he meets on the streets, and even middle-aged people he meets on the streets. I mean, most of them don't even know who's buried in Grant's tomb, and as ridiculous as it may seem, I mean, this really is so many of our young people just don't know. Well, we've got Jack calling from Michigan. Jack, do you have a question for our guest?
Dr. Stan, yes, I actually have several questions.
Oh, just take one quick question here, because we're going to a break. But what was the question about the relation about herbal cures? What was your question?
Well, recognizing Russell Blaylock had scholarly elucidated the fact that there seems to be a hyperinflammatory process involved here with mercury and other possible antigens, wouldn't it make really good sense to highly potent anti-inflammatory agents such as turmeric and acerola, vitamin C.
All right, fine. Let's get, what are your thoughts on some of these other things, and certainly these anti-inflammatory and herbal products?
I think he's right that there's an inflammatory part of this, and in fact, we didn't go into our whole therapy, but we do give an anti-inflammatory. I am, oddly enough, you might be surprised, but I'm fully a mainline doctor, so I'm not denigrating the herbal cures. Maybe they're fine. Personally, I don't know about them, so I'm not saying they don't work. So I use what I have, which is mainline. But he's right. I think there is the mercury causes some inflammation, and we use some medicines along with our lowering testosterone that helps that. And if the herbal cures work, that's fine. Unfortunately, I'm not trained in the herbal medicine, so I don't try to give opinions where I don't know.
All right, Jack, do you have another question?
Well, Dr. Stan, I'm tired. It's late, I guess.
All right, God bless you. Thanks. Good to hear from you, Jack. Okay, fine. That was Jack calling. And certainly there are other treatments that have been used for years. But we don't want to talk about apples and oranges, basically. This is a treatment that works, and certainly why we want to know about what Dr. Geyer is doing, what Dr. Mark and David are doing across the country with doctors who are setting up these clinics all across our land to take care of these children. They've treated over 1,000 children. If you have a question, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, Dr. Mark Geyer and David Geyer. And, of course, we're talking about this terrible tragedy. And
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
I wanted to ask a quick question. My wife and I did call the good team of the Gaia Father and Son team, and they did explain to us that they would give us some forms so that we could present it to our doctor and to help us along with payment. I was concerned about the genetic information they needed. Can he go into a little detail about the genetic information they needed on my daughter?
Did you get the question there, David or Mark?
I think I heard.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Right.
I'm trying to radio up.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
As part of our evaluation of children with autism, we've talked a lot about treatment, but we also do a rather extensive workup, and one of the things that we do testing for is potential genetic causes of autism. We believe that genetics contribute a small percentage to the overall population of autistics, but we do believe it's important to do that kind of testing and to evaluate what kind of a genetic basis is involved in autism. What we find a very high percentage of is kind of genetic susceptibility to being poisoned with things like mercury. When my father was mentioning about the fact that children with autism have a reduced ability to excrete mercury, there are genes involved in those pathways that we test for, that we find very commonly that there are kind of impairments or small genetic changes in those genes that account for this decreased ability to detoxify mercury.
And that is, of course, in the glutathione cycle of metabolism?
Yes, it's in the glutathione pathway. One of the major genes that we test for that's a susceptibility factor for autism involves the gene, what's called MTHFR, methionine tetrahydrate folate reductase. This is a gene that's involved in helping to provide adequate levels of glutathione, and we test for very small genetic changes in that gene that make the actual enzyme work much less efficiently. And if we can identify what those genetic changes are, we can help design treatments to sort of compensate. We can give some vitamins, some minerals, and those kind of things to help overcome that genetic change that the child might have.
All right, so you do routine genetic testing then on every child that comes into the clinics. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, I hope, Charles, that answers your question. I know Charles is listening on the radio back there in Harlem, New York, one of our regular listeners. And so they certainly are looking for specific things. Is there anything else you look for specifically? You talked about a fragmented gene. What was that all about?
The MTHFR gene, it's what's called a single nucleotide polymorphism. Very big name for basically what's referred to as a small genetic change. And these genetic changes, we and others have done research to find out what these small genetic changes do to the glutathione pathway. As I said, we can design from that, we can give supplementation such as vitamin B12 or vitamin B6, folinic acid. These are cofactors that help make the enzyme work better.
All right, fine. Well, now, Sydney, as you would go ahead and you're treating these patients, and Sydney, you've done the evaluation, full evaluation as far as their genetic makeup is concerned. Are there other specific things that you're looking for in your genetic analysis?
We do more than genetics. We try to find every possible thing that we could correct that could cause their problems. For example, if you have very little thyroid, if you're hypothyroid, you might not think very well. So we study the thyroid. We also look at the brain. We'll do at some point a CT or an MRI of the brain to see if there's a brain.
But let me say before you go on, we were talking before about inflammation.
Yes, go ahead, David.
Okay, well, about brain inflammation, we are now engaged in scans to actually look at that kind of thing. We're doing what are called brain metabolic scans involving SPECT scans, which tell about the metabolism and perfusion of blood inside of the brain itself, so we can actually detect brain inflammation.
Well, you know, it's the most amazing thing, because I've practiced medicine for 35 years, maybe closer to 40 years. But the changes that have come to the PET scans and some of these other things are just amazing. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is David Mark and David Geyer. Is there anything going on as far as Congress is concerned? Certainly they had the extensive 3 years of investigations. They came to the conclusion that, of course, thimerosal was certainly involved with the autism epidemic. Nothing came out of that. Is there anything that the federal government can do to force the vaccine companies to take the thimerosal out of their vaccines across America?
There has been some proposed federal legislation in past years, and I think it was actually reintroduced this year to try to, on a national level, ban thimerosal. In the past, the bills that were introduced by Congressman Dave Weldon, who is a physician from Florida, and Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney from New York, and had gotten pretty good bipartisan support, particularly in the House. This year, I believe the bill was introduced again by Carolyn Maloney and co-sponsored this time by Dan Burton from Indiana. And there are, again, quite a number of co-sponsors on that bill. Unfortunately, these things really don't seem to ever come up for a vote. I don't know exactly who's blocking it, but there seem to be efforts to block it. So really, there are quite a number of people on Capitol Hill that are very aware of this issue and in various ways do things that are supportive to trying to get mercury out, to trying to get research for the kids, but the powers that be kind of hold things in check. They sort of filibuster those kind of actions.
We came fairly close a number of years ago, and one of our leaders, Kennedy, made a very bad trade. We had a bill that would really make a difference on thimerosal, and it looked like it might pass. And at the same time, the Republicans had a bill to drill in ANWR in the Alaskan wilderness. Kennedy, being an environmentalist as well as a person who was trying to help thimerosal, he made a deal. They would drop
Hold that thought. Basically, I asked about anything in Washington, D.C. and Congress to try to outlaw thimerosal. Apparently, Kennedy was pushing outlawing the thimerosal, and then a deal was offered having to do with the oil drilling in ANWR up in the...
He sold out our kids, and he saved the reindeer and gave up the kids.
In other words, Kennedy actually then, what did he do? He went ahead and...
He brokered a deal by which he would start, he would draw, they let him actually rant and rave on the floor how bad thimerosal was and yell and scream, and then he withdrew his bill to ban it in exchange for their withdrawing the bill to drill in Alaska.
I don't think
they should drill in Alaska, but this is ridiculous.
You know? It actually was not, that wasn't a bill to ban thimerosal, it was a bill about liability. Congress over the years has been very helpful to the drug companies in trying to prevent vaccine-related litigation. And the specific bill in question was about a bill that might at some point even come up regarding the flu vaccine that we're trying to go after to get rid of the mercury from, where they were trying to offer protection to the vaccine manufacturers in cases of epidemics, again in quotes, just like the state bills, that they would, the vaccine manufacturers, if there was an epidemic, a pandemic of disease, they wouldn't face any liability at all. And Kennedy was very strongly opposed to that kind of a bill. And as my father mentioned, basically it was agreed that he could go yell and scream on the floor, but he would withdraw his opposition, and that bill passed in exchange for not drilling in Anwar.
So we saved the reindeer and hurt our children. Bad deal.
As much as
I like the reindeer, it was a bad deal.
All right, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question. I think Jack is calling back from Michigan with another question. Jack, did you remember your question?
Yes, Dr. Stan, I did. I know a dear lady with an autistic son, and I highly recommended that she eliminate the regimen of processed, adulterated, everyday foodstuffs, such as the cereals, refined sugar, a potion of poison pop, etc., and replace with non-GMO, organic as much as possible. And in fact, recently, I had to do the same for myself.
Have a question, Jack, Jack, do you have a question at all that you could...
I wanted to know if they've ever explored that possibility of eliminating causative agents that might be concomitant, inducers or exacerbators.
All right, fine. Thank you. And let's have any
good
thoughts
question
at all on that.
And the answer is that a number of our patients are on special diets to avoid dangerous substances, but you know, one of the terrible dangerous substances that we were just made aware of is high fructose corn syrup. That contains mercury. High fructose corn syrup, because they, in the chemical processing to make it high fructose, they have a mercury residue. That's in almost all of our foods. That's in our health food foods. It's very disturbing, and at first I thought that the person who said that was wrong because it was a retiring person, but the FDA has confirmed that high fructose corn syrup in many of our food products contains mercury. They won't tell us which ones, and it is a significant amount. So the answer is it's hard to, you know which foods to eat. You go out and you buy, you know, health food chickens, range chickens, and they inject them with mercury to prevent arsenic to prevent parasites. So just because some food sounds like it's wholesome doesn't have to be wholesome, and our government doesn't tell us which foods have which things in it.
And I agree with you, and I share your concern. Certainly, we've counseled people long ago just not to get things with high fructose corn syrup, and people are going to have to start reading the labels on their food, or better still, don't get the pre-prepared food. Get things that normal, get them, you know, the natural foods and fruits and vegetables.
I have to tell you a real brief, terrible story.
Go right ahead.
We have a patient and a good friend who was so extreme on that she wouldn't feed her children anything except homegrown stuff, which she grew organically. And she and her kids ended up in the hospital with arsenic poisoning. And the way this happened was she had to buy a fertilizer, because, you know, you have to use a fertilizer, so she bought an organic fertilizer. She bought cock-a-doodle-doo-doo, which is, you know, a feces from the chicken, which she put on her plants, which was full of arsenic. And it put her in the hospital. Arsenic poisoning. So even if you grow them at home, you're at risk. She didn't know it was full of arsenic. amazing story, true story, almost died of arsenic poisoning. And she grew her own food, and she used organic fertilizer. Is chicken poop is organic fertilizer. And she almost killed herself with it. So the government doesn't tell you, even if you read, exactly what's in some of the things. And that's very disturbing.
That is a very, very disturbing circumstance. And where did the arsenic come from? Did it come from, or they somehow putting it into the chickens? That's how it came out?
Up until recently, and maybe still, many of the big chicken growers inject their chickens with a shot of arsenic to kill parasites. They then collect the chicken poop, and they sell that to those who want organic fertilizer. Well, the chickens poop out the arsenic, and if you put the arsenic on your plants and you eat enough of it, you're going to get arsenic poisoning. And that's what happened to her.
We live in a world gone mad. Well, our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And this is really such, I believe, a very, very important subject because we're poisoning our children. And having known for years the dangers of thimerosal, knowing it is too dangerous to put on the skin in the form of methylate or mercurochrome, they still are injecting it in our children. And most people honestly believe that they've taken the mercury out of the childhood vaccines because nobody's telling them they've left it in vaccines that are given to children. In other words, they took it out of the vaccines for childhood diseases, although I don't know why they would consider hepatitis B a childhood disease, but they seem to have put it in there, namely because they give every child in the nursery hepatitis B without any medical justification. That's a whole different subject. There's absolutely no medical justification for giving a child in the nursery hepatitis B vaccine, unless, of course, the mother has hepatitis B. But, of course, they do it because that way, of course, they get it done. Nobody's thinking much about it. The mother's in pain. The father's glad to see the child. And they have the control of the child, and they give it a hepatitis B shot, which does no good and a great deal of harm. But that's an entirely different subject. But under any circumstances, now, of course, we find full doses of mercury in the influenza vaccine. They're talking now about wanting to give two of these new H1N1 type A influenza shots, plus one of the old vaccine shots. Isn't that going to be a phenomenal amount of mercury that they're going to be given to our children this year in the influenza vaccine shots?
You know, when you think of what you're allowed, there's a very simple thing to see how far you are over. And that is the EPA has a guideline that you're not allowed, the safety limit is 0.1 microgram of mercury per kilogram of body weight per day. So if you take a kid that's, say, 6 months old and weighs, let's say, 10 kilos, 5 to 10 kilos, and he's therefore allowed 0.1 times 5, which is 0.5 micrograms per day, and if you give him a flu shot, which either contains 12.5 or 25 micrograms, he's 50 to 100-fold over. And even if you're a woman or man, an adult man, let's say you weigh 80 kilos, which is 190 pounds or something, 186 pounds, you're allowed 8 micrograms. And if you take a flu shot, that's 25 micrograms. You're three times over, and that's before you eat any fish or have amalgams or breathe the air that comes from the power plants. So we are highly mercury toxic, and we are highly mercury toxic even before we begin taking the vaccine. And our government is not paying attention to mercury. And interestingly enough, our president seems to care. My understanding, his very first treaty that he signed as a new president was to get rid of mercury in the environment around the world. But I don't see it happening here, and I don't see him doing anything about the vaccines, which is the big source.
And I think it's so important that people understand that the vaccines are one of the major sources of mercury. Certainly, fish, certain types of fish are worse than others, and certainly the mercury fillings. And the FDA is trying to convince us that there is no emissions from those mercury fillings, and that just isn't true. In fact, in the past, they've admitted it. Now they've gone back, suddenly somebody's put pressure on the FDA, and they're saying there's nothing to worry about. I think everybody should be worried about the of mercury and the actual fumes that come off of the of mercury fillings. In fact, anybody can go to the website. I think it's the international, that's the organization for, well, anyway, Dr. Kennedy. You could just simply look up Dr. Kennedy's website, or we can get it for you later. But they have actually pictures there. In fact, we have pictures on our DVDs that will, you'll actually see the emissions coming off with especially mercury light, emissions coming off of fillings that have been in place for 50 years. Once you heat those fillings, as you would taking a drink of coffee, of warm coffee, why the mercury begins to vaporize and goes right into the brain. So they know what's going on, and for whatever reason, they're not protecting the health of the American people. What would you suggest that our listeners here do if they may not have an autistic child, but they certainly should be worried about the threat of mercury intoxication? What should our listeners do, Mark? Or David, who wants to answer that?
You want to go, Dave?
Well, I think that the main thing that they must do is, first of all, if you're going to get any vaccine, whether it's for yourself, your children, grandchildren, whatever it is to make sure that you get nothing but thimerosal-free. And this requires, as you said about the food, we basically need informed consumers who are going to be reviewing package inserts, reviewing boxes, whatever it is, to ensure that they're not exposed to mercury. These things are labeled, but it requires a proactive individual to find out what are the ingredients and to make sure that the one that you're getting is indeed mercury-free. And if it's not mercury-free, to tell the doctor, whoever the healthcare provider is, that you want a mercury-free one. And if you go to a doctor who says that it's either my way or the highway as far as it's concerned about the mercury, you may need to get a new doctor, one that's willing to listen to your concerns and do what you want. I mean, as a patient, you get to make choices as to what medicines you want. They should be listening and trying to meet your demand.
Well, I'm very, very concerned that certainly I think most people who take the influenza vaccine are going to be giving a vaccine that will contain mercury in it. The vast majority of them would appear that they are going to contain mercury. And the average doctor never looks at the insert. I mean, I've had, certainly, I practiced medicine for years. I never read those inserts. I know after I left medicine and went to a very good friend, a cardiologist, and he wanted to put me on antihypertensive medication, telling me how important it was. I might die if I didn't take the medication. And I looked at the insert, and there was really very little difference in mortality or morbidity between the people who took the medicine and those who didn't. Maybe a 1% improvement by taking this medication, which could have all sorts of complications. And it's simply, if he'd read the insert, he never would have prescribed the medication. How are we going to educate the doctors? Because certainly I think most doctors want to do the right thing. They want to help their patients. But how are we going to get them educated about the danger of thimerosal and that they are not getting the truth from the Centers for Disease Control, the FDA, and the NIH?
I think we all have to be smart consumers. And, we had just a recent story last year. We were talking to a doctor in the medical society that I'm a member of, and we were telling him about this, and he basically thought thimerosal was removed. And he got up, and I thought he was going to the bathroom, actually, and he was in his office, and he comes back, and he says, "Oh, my God, I've been lied to." He took out the package insert, and he read it, and it has thimerosal, and he'd been told no thimerosal. It's amazing. They don't read the package insert. They listen to the people. And we gave a conference to some pediatricians, and we were actually talking about our therapy, but they started asking us about mercury because they know we're mercury people. And one of the pediatricians got up and said, "You guys are all wet. The thimerosal has been completely removed from all the vaccines." And another pediatrician got up and he had a mercury an influenza shot, and he said, "No, it's not out. Look right here. It says so." And she covered her eyes and she said, "It's not in there, and I'm not going to look. It's not in there. It's not in there." And she ran out of the room. That's the level that we've come to now. They've been brainwashed to the extent that they won't even read if you show. And it wasn't us. It was her fellow pediatrician was trying to show her. It's on the package insert, but she won't read it because she's been told it's not in there. It's gotten to be beyond crazy.
And I think that's why legal action, coming full around to where we started, legal action to get the courts to order
that these kind of products can't be on the shelf anymore is really the only way to solve it. I think education, gentle persuasion on the behalf of consumers and the scientific community is just not going to work. That what we have to do is have, through courts, orders, and ultimately, I guess, laws that specifically ban it and just get rid of it once and for all.
But, of course, getting the laws passed is almost impossible because you're dealing with vaccine companies that are willing to use hundreds of millions of dollars to get their products released that are maybe to immeasurable harm. They've actually got legislation passed. So they can't be sued no matter what they've done. People can bring a suit in the vaccine court, but then you're fighting the federal government that will do everything they can to block your getting a settlement. So the parents of damaged and destroyed children really don't really have any comeback. So I don't know, Sidney, how we're going to ever get the laws through, because the vaccine companies will spend any amount of money and bribe every congressman in Congress to keep a legislation from getting through.
Well, and that's the beauty of what I announced in the beginning of this program. The action that we have now isn't asking for a new law. It turns out that the current laws under the FDA make thimerosal, anybody who can read can see that it is illegal. They can't put thimerosal in vaccines until it's been shown, what's the wording, Dave? He's got it exactly because he's been writing it.
Until they show that thimerosal preserved vaccines are sufficiently non-toxic.
And they haven't shown it. So we don't need a new law. All we need is an honest judge to say, you violated the law as it stands, and you're going to stop doing this, and we may even punish you criminally, because the law has always been there. When we set up the FDA, we set it up so that we would have safe drugs and safe vaccines, and we have black letter law that tells them what they have to do, and they didn't do it, and they admit they didn't do it. That's the amazing thing. Their answer doesn't say, no, we did it. It says we didn't do it, and we don't have to follow the law. And all we need to do is get the judge to rule that they have to follow their own law, and we win. And the country wins.
Well, I just hope that something had happened between now and later this year, because my fear is they're going to put squalene into much of this, the vaccines. They're going to put mercury in the vaccines, and they're going to give not one but two shots to people, children, pregnant women, and infants. And, well, I'm really very, very concerned of the terrible, disastrous effects that may be coming about. I applaud everything you're doing. Hang on. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, David and Mark, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Tragedy. We do hope that many of you will want to get the information. We carry the book that David co-authored, and certainly that Mark provided a great deal of information for. It's called Sacred Spark. Sacred Spark. It's the story of a little boy who became autistic unnecessarily in this country where there seems to be another agenda, and where probably well over a million children have been intentionally damaged. This is not accidental. They know, and if you haven't read the report on Simpson Wood, much of this is covered in Dr. David Aob's CD-ROM. You'll get that along with your DVD, Dr. David Aob's talk, Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda, and the fact that the people who are pushing population control in the world and want to decrease the number of children are pushing childhood vaccines. You wonder why, if you want to kill off the children, you're pushing childhood vaccines. Well, that's another subject, but of course, the mercury actually interferes with fertility, not only in one generation, but in generations yet unborn. It's all in this amazing, amazing DVD. You'll certainly want to get it with the CD-ROM that comes with that. It's Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. You'll certainly want to get the DVD by Dr. Blaylock, Vaccines and Brain Development. Vaccines and Brain Development. You want to get the DVD by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, which we carry. We actually have her book. We have a book by by Neil Miller, Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective? It's an easy little book to read. We have his book on autism. And then, of course, we have the large book. It's about 500 or 600 pages. The Vaccine Safety Manual. You need this information if you care for your children, and if you care for your own health, and if you're taking the yearly flu vaccines with the mercury in it, you may wonder, you know, is there any real relationship between the vaccines and the skyrocketing incidence of Alzheimer's disease and the skyrocketing incidence of senile dementia in our older people? We've got a great four-tape set on Alzheimer's disease. A great four-tape set on Alzheimer's disease, not only as far as the cause, but, of course, what you can do about it. All of these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America is under attack today. You can go to our website at radioliberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, and of course look at our videos and our four tape sets and our and certainly our books we have available on all sorts of subjects. You'll get information here you won't get elsewhere because there is censorship of the media. It's very hard to get a lot of the information that we have. It's not available any other place but through our ministry. So remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, don't forget we're going to have our all-day conference, our annual Radio Liberty Conference on the 25th of October. That's a Sunday, and towards the end of October, here in the North Shore, Monterey Bay. And of course, make your reservations now. You can get your reservations at the hotel. We're going to have a great lineup. We're going to have, of course, Sydney, Dr. Tom Horn will be here, Dr. Kathleen Albrecht, Will Grieg, Sir Ashley Moat, who's a member of the British Parliament, will be talking about the move towards the European Union, the move towards world government, the end of freedom. So make your plans to be here. We hope you can make it. And then if you're in a position to help Radio Liberty, wire number 1-800-544-8927. So please pray for America. Pray for revival, because we're really involved in a spiritual battle. And then pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, we'll be back here on the same station.